lips and in each of our hearts. Amen. Please be seated. The reading that we heard this morning from the first letter of John, this is in the fifth chapter. Says this: if we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is the testimony: God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the boldness we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained we know that we have obtained the requests made of him. Excuse me. In the gospel that you heard just a minute ago from John 17 is a portion of chapter 17 of the book of John. Someone would get me a cup of water. I would appreciate it. The whole of the chapter 17 of the book of John is known as the great high priestly prayer. Thanks, Ellie. This is the way the family of God works. Thank you very much. Chapter 17 of John is known as the great high priestly prayer. And I want to talk about this for a minute in preface to it, because one of the great struggles for us as Christians, I know this is true for me, I suspect that it's true for you, is that some of what we read in Scripture is very clear and very compelling and at a gut level, and we get it. Other elements of what we read in Scripture are much more intellectual, or at least we read them that way. They are more, I want to say, philosophical almost, as if we are conceiving something up here, but it doesn't have that gut-level impact. Much of what is in chapter 17 of John is like that. When we first hear it, although the words are relatively clear and the images conveyed are relatively clear, it doesn't hit us here. So I want to ask that we each, myself included, as we hear this, try to appropriate this, try to own it, try to hear this in our hearts rather than just sort of conceptually up here. It matters enormously, and I hope that this becomes clear as we unpack it. Chapter 17 of John, verse 5, Jesus says this. All of chapter 17 of John is a prayer which Jesus makes for his disciples and for those who will become disciples by hearing the word spread by the disciples. And that means us. This is made very clear at the end of the chapter. It means us. Okay? So this whole chapter 17 is a prayer that Jesus prayed to his Father in heaven on our behalf. I can't think of a better reason to take this seriously than that this is Jesus praying on our behalf. Verse 5 of chapter 17, Jesus says this: "So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world." You read that again. There's much here. "So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed." Think about what Jesus is saying. Glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had before the world existed. Remember, Jesus was disputing with some Pharisees one time and was talking about Abraham as if he knew him. And they said, "How can you talk about Abraham this way? You're not even 50. And Abraham had lived centuries earlier. And Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am." He's taking himself, in a sense, out of time and space. But before Abraham even existed, I am. And what the Pharisees would have known, and what any in Jesus' presence at that time would have known, is those words, "I am," are the name by which God names himself. When Moses asks who it is that he's to tell the Israelites that God has sent him, by what name, God says, "Tell them I am sent you." When Jesus is in the garden, the night before he's crucified, and the soldiers and the temple police come to get him, and Jesus says, "Who are you looking for?" And they say, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he says, in your translation, it says, "I am he." What he says in the Greek, and likely in the Aramaic, is, "I am." He doesn't say, "I am he." He says, "I am." That's the name of God. And as he says those words, "I am," all of the soldiers and temple police fall down, because they are in the presence of the glory of God. In fact, the very next sentence here, Jesus has just said, "Father, glorify me in your own presence with that glory that I had in your presence before the world existed." The next sentence, verse 6, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world." And what he means here when he says, "I have made your name known," is he means, "I have made the I am known. I have made that name known." In fact, if we go down to verse 11, he says, "And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them." Listen to these words. "Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me." Protect them in your name, I am, that you have given me. In fact, the beginning of the book of John starts this way: "In the beginning was the Word," referring to Jesus Christ, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made." So it says right at the beginning of the book of John that this one who became Jesus on earth existed before he came down, was with the Father before the world was even created, was in unity with the Father before the world was created. And you heard me read earlier during our worship from the second chapter of Philippians how Jesus humbled himself and did not take advantage of his godhood by exploiting it, but humbled himself and became a servant and was obedient to God. And so what we have here in Jesus' high priestly prayer is he is praying for his disciples and reminding them who he is. This is not just a good moral teacher. It might be safer for us to believe that. We might be less threatened. Then we could just put him in a category with a bunch of other good moral teachers, of which there have been many. But this isn't what Jesus says about himself. What Jesus says about himself is, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus says about himself that he wants God to restore him to the glory that he had before the world began. And so this one of the three who are God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because of his love for us, humbled himself and became a human being. Astonishing, ridiculous concept. True, in spite of our intellectual pride in rejecting such a ridiculous concept. And there really is the heart of what has happened. If God is love, and God loves us so much that he can humble himself and live among us as a servant, know who this is. This is not just intellectual talk. This is serious life stuff. If God loved us so much that he could come here and be one of us and humble himself, even become a human being so that he could reach us, we ought to listen to him. And then he says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself. That means I set myself apart as holy, so that they also may be sanctified, set apart in truth. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. And now listen to this next sentence. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. And he goes on to speak more fully and more deeply about this. The Trinity, a subject of endless debate over the centuries, has this at its core, that the Father is in the Son, and the Son is in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in the Father, and the Holy Spirit is in the Son, and the Son is in the Father. That interpenetrating unity of three persons as one God. They are in each other. They are one God. Three persons. One God. And what Jesus offers us here is the opportunity to partake of that. Of that eternal love which is there and which shares eternally. And they have offered that love to us and have begged us to partake of it. Have begged us to partake of it. And have said that if we will but accept the love which is offered, we will enter too into God. And that God will be in us and we will be in God. That their joy may be complete. And that the glory which the Father gave the Son gives to us. That's the promise that he makes here. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given to me may be with me where I am, that is, lifted to the right hand of God, to see my glory which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. This is not just about religious concepts. This is about the desire of God's heart for our hearts to love Him. And in that love, just as Jesus humbled Himself and became a servant and was obedient to God, so we are given the opportunity to humble ourselves, to humble our hearts, to be servants and to be obedient, and to share the love which has been shared with us. To share the love which has been shared with us. Even the love that we experience here in this little family of God is not ours to keep. It's ours only to give away. That's the nature of this community. It is not isolated. It does not build walls around itself. It opens doors around itself so that others too might hear the word, that others too might be caught and captured by the love of God, which is so deep and so intended for us that we can be caught up into it and in that joy go out and share it so that others might know it too. My prayer for every one of us this morning is that the love of God and the presence of His Spirit in our lives might be so real to us, that we can do nothing but speak His praises and share His word and call others into His kingdom. Lord, may it be so. I pray this in Jesus' name.